You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are actually two projects that we're running concurrently. So the survey is part of a community engagement project that we're doing with Women in Urbanism Aotearoa. And so that is basically a refresh of a street harassment survey that they did back in 2018. And then we're working, once we get the survey results, we'll be working to visualize those results and give that back to Women in Urbanism so folks can actually see what the results are. And then parallel to that, we have a research project that we're working on through our internal research division called Arab University. And that's where we're working on a project that's really taking a look at this idea of designing mobility and urban spaces by using a Teomori approach. We know that the systems that we're in, the transport systems, the public spaces, have generally been formed using a Western planning approach. What if we were to, you know, look at it from a Teomori approach? What would that look like in planning and design? So that's kind of the basis of the research. And what we're looking to do is get the lived experience from people who are Māori, both Wahine and Kōtiro, to find out from them, do you feel safe in the spaces that exist around you? Do you feel a sense of belonging in the places that are around you? And how could we approach that a bit differently?
Would you be able to describe in any way how a Western and Māori landscape might differ from each other?
Yeah, so one of the things when we had some conversations, one of the things that came up was Maramataka. So in terms of consultation specifically, using Maramataka to say, is this a good day to actually have a consultation? Is this a day where people, you know, ideas are flowing? Or is there a better day that might actually serve those conversations a bit better? Is there a way to start to incorporate some of the indigenous wisdom that already exists and use that approach to incorporate in the planning that we're doing? So that's just one example, and really from the lived experience, having those workshops, having the wānanga, is to really identify, are there other opportunities that we might be missing because we just don't live in that world?
For those who don't know, could you explain what a wānanga is?
Yes. So wānanga is essentially a workshop. It's a workshop that is really getting into what's the real deal, stripped down, getting folks around the table, getting real about conversations and having a space that people feel comfortable to do that.
Have you found in the past that there's been a big difference between answers you might get through a survey online compared to an in-person talk?
Oh, absolutely. And I think because when you're doing it online, you have the ability to maintain your anonymity and there's nothing tying you to it. But in person, you really have to be comfortable with the space. You have to feel like the physical space is comfortable to you. You have to feel comfortable with the people that you're providing your information to. So it's really relationship building. That's the difference between just an online survey and an in-person survey. And because we're asking, you know, particularly probing questions when it comes to safety and sense of belonging, that's something that we want to handle a little bit more carefully.
What follows the workshop? How do you plan on compiling the conversation into data, essentially?
Yeah, so what we're doing is for the research project, we're actually doing, prior to the workshop, we're doing some literature review because we want to see, is there anything else out there? We know that, you know, there's been other work done. We at Arab have done some research around designing cities that work for women. And then taking the information from the workshops to taking that along with the lit research, putting those together and drawing out essentially just a bit of a white paper that says, this is what we've found, this is what we've heard. If we are going to try to look at approaching things differently, here are some of the things that we've heard could be an approach to it.
What's motivated you to focus on mobility through places, or as I've seen you call it, the space in between.
Yeah, so when we were going through the information for the survey, we realized not a lot of Maori women had actually answered the survey. So we said, this is interesting. Is this the type of, do people feel comfortable answering the survey? You know, where has this been put out for people to feel like, yes, this is a survey for me? We looked at that, and then, as I said, we started having conversations with people, and they said, you know what? I'll tell you, when I was in the train station, when I see a security guard, that actually makes me feel unsafe. And that's an interesting perspective. I would have never thought of that. We started looking at safety and realizing that safety is so often couched as physical safety, and there are so many other elements to safety. And then, you know, when it comes to safety and belonging, those two are so intrinsically intertwined that it just seemed like no one is truly looking at that. That it's great to have sidewalk, but if someone doesn't feel like they actually belong in a space, you know, the stress of moving through that space can be a bit different. Mm. So when we talk about that space in between, it's how do you actually feel once you leave your home? How do you feel? You know, do you feel like you actually belong in that space? Do you feel like it's been planned with you in mind? Do you see yourself as you're going through your day? And starting to realize, wow, this is really like, it's been truly all of the tools that we have as planners are really in a Western framework. And what if, just what if, we were to look at it a bit differently? How do we take a step back and start to actually take note and take heed of the land that we're actually on? You know, because the wisdom is older than we are, and how can we start to incorporate that and not just dismiss it for this framework that we've been working in all along?
I think the feeling, a sense of being, is really important and definitely overlooked when it comes to traditional colonial-esque urban design. Do you have any examples personally in which you could see the sense of being flourishing under Indigenous guidance?
Just one example that was brought up to us was, you know, it would be great to see, you know, someone with a moko in your everyday, and it's maybe music. Music was another thing that was brought up to us, whereas some people might see it as noise pollution. Other people might see it as, it actually makes me feel at home. It actually makes me feel like, yeah, this is my space. So I think it's really learning to plan for the area that you're in, and I think really moving away from our systems that we're planning in a way that puts something down in front of someone and says, hey, this is what we plan to do, give us your feedback. I think we really have to start to ask the people that live there, where is it that you want to go, what is it that you want to do, what do you want the space to look like, and we'll partner with you to create the vision that you're looking for. I think that's what we're kind of hoping to influence in a way where you can plan like that, to do it like that, because asking people for feedback after you've already designed it is kind of, it's not a good, that's not a partnership at all.
Mm. It'll be really nice to see once the conversations that you'll be having digitized, I suppose, and then future urban planners and designers can go back and reference that.
Yeah, and that's essentially what we're trying to do, is create something that is just a piece, a reference piece, to say, you know, here are some folks that we talk to. And what we're really trying to do is mix up the diversity of thoughts within the folks that we're having conversations with. So we're going to have conversations with Wahine Māori. We're going to have conversations with Kotiro Māori. And then we're also going to see if we can speak to street fauna. So we want to see if we have that diversity of thought, because someone that is actually living on the street or unhoused is going to have a way different sense of belonging to someone that is housed.